Accession number 19912, Reel 2.
Mr. Weinberg, Reel 2.
As I said, he told me that there were three other young Jewish boys born in Germany who also had accepted to do the same, but that nobody of us would know who was who because of security reasons, which I understood. He also said to me, if ever you will at this moment tell anybody that I had called you and asked you to do this, I will deny it. So when you come out of the embassy, please forget that you have seen me. So in a certain way, he put me into the Secret Service without anybody knowing what I was doing and what I had to do. Now, on the first day of the being in the port, the Marines came ashore to a funeral of their comrades in the German cemetery. A lot of Germans were there, and also the ambassador, who was known as a Nazi, first-class Nazi, and also were there the officers of the British merchant ships who had been captured by the Graf's Bay and hold in the Graf's Bay prisoners. That is very well known because they afterwards put even flowers on the graves of the Marines. And something happened during this funeral, because everybody, when they asked for the memory, saluted with the Nazi salute, the arm right out. The only one who did not was Langsdorff, who saluted on military, in the military way, putting his right hand on his cap. I looked to the German ambassador, and I think if he could have killed him by looking to him, he would have done so. Anyway, the newspaper the next morning were full of this thing, and now it started, it seems, between the German ambassador and the foreign minister of Uruguay, the negotiations, how long that Graf's Bay should be given to arrange the damage. The international law said 72 hours. And the foreign minister, who was actually born in Italy and came to Uruguay when he was 2 years old, he said 72 hours and nothing more. So it seems what later was said, that there was a big row between the ambassador, the German ambassador, and foreign minister. What it must have been because also in a certain moment it came out that the ambassador had menaced to bombard Montevideo from the Graf's Bay and to make war against Uruguay with the Graf's Bay, which was, has been impossible because his big towers were impossible to move anymore. He couldn't move the big his big towers of 11 inch which they had on the boat. The answer, that is a rumor from the foreign minister, was that we are a very little country, but we are a very proud country. Don't menace me. There is a door. And he had to go. He went out furiously, that is known, but was really what talked between the two, I don't know. I couldn't tell if that was true because there were at that moment so many rumors as you could not believe. Anyway, I had a group of Marine soldiers with me. They thought I was a German Nazi because of my German was naturally fluently. And I told them what Millington Drake, Sir Millington Drake, had told me to do. And we told all of us, and it came naturally now from different sources, that there was the biggest Allied fleet they could imagine who were waiting for them. That there was even the French battle cruiser Strasbourg, the Renown, the Cumberland, and I don't know how many names we brought up. So as this came from different sources, they on the end believed it. But there was only the Cumberland finally who came from the Falklands. He was at the moment of the battle, he was still in the Falklands, and Port Stanley, that is about 1,000 miles away. And Achilles and Exeter, that was all what was there. A funny thing was that the Renown was located in Brazil somewhere, and it wasn't the Renown at all, it was another, because the Renown was, as far as I know, already sunk on the beginning of the war, somewhere in the northern Atlantic. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, they believed. And Langsdorff decided to scuttle as a ship. He put his, on the 17th, that was a Sunday, on the 17th he put soldiers, the Marine soldiers, all on the Tacoma, which was a German merchant ship who was at that moment anchored in Montevideo. And he left at about 6 o'clock in the evening of the Sunday to scuttle the ship, which nobody knew by then what he would do. The coast was full, thousands and thousands of people were on the coast to look, and I myself went also, and certainly we saw that there came from the Tacoma a little boat to the Graf Spee, who had stopped, and the rest of about five people came down to that boat and also went to the Tacoma and to some Argentine boats which did come from Argentine to save the soldiers, the Marine soldiers. And 5 minutes later, at the moment when the sun did go down, a terrible explosion followed by a second one who did move the coast, and the Graf Spee went into the air, broke in two, and fell down on a sandbank where he had put the ship. I think he did that because he thought that if he blocked then the port of Montevideo. He himself, with his crew, went to Argentine. The crew was interned. The officers went to a hotel. And he had a reunion with his officers in the evening still and gave all his personal belongings to another officer, which was a friend of his. I don't remember his other name. And they found him in the next morning involved in the fleck of the old Germany shut into, he had shut himself. And that was the story of the Graf Spee, who was the beginning of my coming into the war.
When you were having those conversations with the German seamen, did you have any difficulty in convincing them of this strong Allied naval force?
No, because you can't see the mouth of the too far away. The mouth of the Rio de la Plata, where the Uruguay River goes into the Atlantic, is at least from Montevideo about 10 miles away. So with your eyes, you can't see anything. And I do think that Achilles, Cumberland, and
Ajax
did move quite a bit around to make them think also that there was a lot of ships going. Anyway, I do think that he really believed it, because if you get this from different sources, if it would only come from one source, that would not have been the same. So this was the beginning for me of my later intervention in the war. I have to say this. When I came out of Germany, the moment this Cap Nord did leave the territorial waters of Germany, I put my hand on the Bible, which my mother had packed into my things, and swore that I would dedicate my life to fight any force who would go against the Jews or even against other races in the world. I have been told by my friends that I stood to my oath until always, which I think is true. Anyway, and the 10th, what was it? The 10th the 10th of June 1940, when the German occupied Paris, something did happen in Montevideo. The people of Uruguay was a complete democratic, really democratic people. There was no difference between religions, black people, Indian people, white people. It just didn't exist. You were a human being, and that was all. And or you were a good human being, or you were a bad human being. And when the information came that the Germans had taken Paris, the people went on the street and destroyed everything you can think of what was German. I had to tell my father to stay at home, because he never could learn Spanish, and he spoke only German in the Jewish community, which was quite big in Montevideo. There were 37,000 Jews, and from all different countries, and he stood at home. Meantime, I myself was also with his people on the street, destroying all the German shops and offices, everything what was Germany.
You joined in yourself?
I joined in myself. And the only thing what at that moment was protected was the German embassy. It was otherwise, the government closed completely the eyes. The police didn't intervene. They let us go wherever we wanted and wherever the destruction took place of German places. Nobody intervened. But when the masses came to the embassy, the police kindly asked us to stop and not to go on, which we actually did. There was a demonstration, naturally, but a peace, so-called peaceful. There was nothing like we have later learned after the war, even a few days ago here. There was no possibility that there was anybody who would go and tell now we go and kill the German ambassador or something like that. So on the 10th, situation in came more and more against Germany, and I went to look what I could do, and went to the French embassy, because I thought, what will they do? Will they go with Vichy, or will they do something else? And then I thought outside the embassy an ad which said, the speech which gave back the speech of General de Gaulle, a general nobody until then, now, but which said on the end, we lost a battle, but we did not lose the war. And I went into the embassy and tell that it was fantastic. The ambassador Leroux was the first ambassador in all South America who joined de Gaulle with all his personal, with everybody in the French embassy, and had sent a cable to de Gaulle in London telling him we will be with you, and what can we do? I explained to him what I wanted to do. I told him that I wanted to fight. And he sent a telegram to de Gaulle. And 8 days later, from London here, came the answer. When he comes, we accept him. And when he comes, please, he should present himself immediately to our headquarters. What I did not know was that the British authorities did make difficulties. Because, as you know, there were a lot of Jewish aliens. There were aliens, friendly aliens. And it seems that they did not want any more other Jews to come in. Politics is a very dirty thing. And in my opinion, if Churchill wouldn't have come to power, I don't know which the way of England would have been. Anyway, it took at least 6 months before the Britain, even with the intervention of Sir Millington Drake, who told definitely here the British authorities what I did, called me and said, we now have the authority to give you a travel document. Because we had no document whatsoever, no passport, nothing. We were expatriated from Germany as soon as we left Germany. So I got a travel document, and I went with 9 other volunteers from South America. I think 3 of them were Uruguayan, 2 of them were Argentines, and one in parentheses, you will hear, from Chile. And in total, we were 9. So on the boat, the captain immediately said, you are all volunteers, so I will use you, and you will make a service on the outlook against U-boats, which we had to do.
Which ship was this?
It's a Starline. I don't remember anymore. I can't remember. Names for me is a terrible thing to it. I can't remember the name of that boat, but it was Starline.
Sailing from Montevideo.
From Montevideo to Liverpool. And as you can imagine, in the evening, those 9 volunteers sat together and talked why they did go and fight. They were very sure in South America everybody had to work, but they left their work and they decided to fight Nazi Germany. And then one on the evening, it was my turn to tell them what happened to me and why I went to fight against the German regime. And we spoke Spanish, naturally, all of us. And in a certain moment, somebody who was sitting on my right-hand side, I called Evian or Eviani or something like that, I don't remember exactly, murmured in German, so just so like I could still hear it. As a damned Jew, they should have killed already. He said that in German. I went immediately up to the captain told him. He arrested the man, put him into, I don't know where, in the boat. And when we arrived in Liverpool, there was police already there. They took him and I don't know what happened to him. He was arrested and was taken away. We were brought to the patriotic school, which was normal, to be interviewed and to see that we really were what we told we were. And after we passed control, after a few days, I was allowed to go to the French headquarters. The French headquarters, which is where today the monument of de Gaulle is, in Carlton Gardens. Carlton Gardens was headquarters of the Free French. I was received by Professor Cassin, a French Jew who had joined de Gaulle immediately, and after the war he became a Nobel Prize. He was a fantastic man. He was already in France, very well known lawyer, and I think he was advisor to the Minister Blum. Anyway, after a short, just blah blah, Cassin presented me to de Gaulle. Now, the difficulty was that my French was only school French, and I couldn't express myself as I would have wished, so I asked Cassin to translate from English because my English was much better than my French at this moment. And de Gaulle asked me only one question. Why, young man, do you want to join the Free French Forces? My answer, which is very well known all over in the Free French Forces, afterwards it has been talked about that, was, you see, Mon Général, I have lost everything what was dear to me, and I had to run, not to be killed. I think the same did happen now to you. So we are on the same boat, and we have to see together to get back what belongs to us. He was a fantastic man. I liked him very much. He took my hand and said, "You are the man I trust, and I think I am glad to have you with us." He ordered a car and he sent me to Camberley.
So this is 1941?
In the beginning of 1941. The thing was that